T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Runner goes, and Donaldson smokes that one toward left field. Gordon on the run. He's still going. Not going to get her off the base of the wall. Here comes Dansby to third. They're going to wait her. He's going to have to hurry. Throws late. It's an RBI double for Donaldson. It's 1-0 Atlanta.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves have some work to do tonight to salvage a series against the worst road team in all of baseball. And welcome back to our continuing coverage of the 2019 AT&T Falcons training camp, live from Flowery Branch as the sun starts to rise over the practice fields, and the Falcons about 90 minutes away from getting back onto the field for day 3, where today, Hugh, we understand they may be in pads for at least part of the practice today and start that hitting for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, that must be nice, man, to, you know, get a couple days under your belt. I mean, your body's still sore, I think, like Rico Allen pointed out, but to get a couple days under your belt, man, for you actually get to banging, that has to feel good. That does a body good right there, I would imagine.
Yeah, Falcons practiced in the rain yesterday. A little sloppy, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. You get a rain practice in, which prepares you for, you know, the eventuality that you might have to play it some point of the season in the rain. But today going to be a beautiful day, just high skies and warm temperatures and a great day for fans to be out. The gates will open in about a half an hour from now. And again, if you're up in the area of 985 and Spout Springs Road, you can come up here, and it's free to park. It's free to come in. The food truck has got dollar hot dogs and dollar hamburgers, and it's a great time for the kids. And drop by and say hi out here at our spot and pick up some free stuff from the table next to us at 92.9 The Game. It is just a lot of fun to be training camp and getting ready again, 8 days away from the first game against the Denver Broncos at the Hall of Fame game in Canton. And that was one of the things when we were talking with Coach Quinn yesterday. He was like, yeah, some of these guys, we said, you do realize you're playing next week. Well, that's next week? I think it kind of caught him off guard. Yeah, it's coming that fast.
Well, I don't know about catching him off guard, John. It's just like, it's one of those things where You think about the way that training camp goes now, and you think about how much time you don't spend with the team. You know, you get a couple days here, a couple days there, and then you're automatically on the field getting ready to play. You think about it collectively. They've probably been together, as far as days are concerned, before the season starts, maybe 12 days. And I'm adding the actual practices that they're doing here now, and with the OTAs that they have, because they have, what, 2 OTAs? And then you have the season that starts. So you're talking about probably 15 to 20 days of actually hanging out together, working out, if you didn't do off-season workouts, and getting ready for the season. That's not a whole lot of time compared to what it used to be. You're talking about back in the day, and I hate to be that guy that's talking about back in the day when I played, but when we played, me, Randy, and B-Mac, you had at least 3 OTAs, and one of those OTAs, you were there for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
You were there for at least a week.
Right.
And then, you know, you had to do some – like some guys did the winter workouts. So you saw a lot more of your team. So with this being the way that it is right now, being condensed as it is and everything like that, it's just different nowadays. It's totally different.
Yeah, and a lot of coaches have taken to using the preseason as an extended training camp because of that.
Yeah, and not only that, John, it's like, think about it like this. The way you're evaluating these guys now, you have to – every time they step out on the field, that's an evaluation moment. Every time you go out there in any organized team activity, regardless of how you feel, what you do, you're being evaluated, because that's the only time that they really get to see you. I mean, think about it. Like, it used to be times where you have cats come in and they would use training camp to get into shape, or they would use OTAs and to get into shape or whatever. Nah, bruh, you better come in on top of your game. That's your best bet. Because if you come in lacking and, you know, you're not ready to go and the guy behind you is showing what he can do, you could put yourself in a bad spot and get cut. I mean, you don't have the luxury of what they used to do, where they talk about, hey, man, we're just going to, you know, I'm going to work myself in the shape as camp goes. No, you ain't got that kind of luxury, bro, especially if you're one of those cats that's on the bubble. Can't do that.
Going to be a busy hour ahead as we get ready for camp to begin here. Giorgio Tavecchio, the kicker for the Atlanta Falcons, the new kicker. We had a chance to speak to him yesterday. Really fun, interesting interview. We're going to bring that to you in about 20 minutes. Also ahead later in the hour, our good luck charm, Julian Gressel, is going to be part of the program. We'll talk to him about this huge showdown for Atlanta United against LAFC coming up on Friday night in Los Angeles, and that'll all be ahead, some of the headlines of the day. Of course, the big story today for us locally is the Atlanta Braves. Kansas City Royals, who came to town last night. This is the worst road team in all of baseball all season long. The Kansas City Royals were 15-35 on the road coming into the game last night, and they stole one from the Atlanta Braves. Braves had many chances to get a lot more than four runs. They didn't. They, more importantly, Hugh, they waste an outing by Dallas Keuchel, where Dallas got 12 strikeouts in just six innings and was on his A game. And that one stings a little bit, I have to say.
It does. It does, because – but this is the way baseball goes, John, because you're talking about a team where you look at them and their record is 37. They won 37 games all season. And you're thinking about it like, okay, this is a chance for us to gain a little bit of ground. You didn't do that. It's unfortunate, but it's not the end of the world. And sometimes it's harder to play teams you're not as familiar with, because you don't know the different nuances of playing that team. So that's a little tough. But you got to get this one tonight, because the two teams that are behind you gain ground on you. You're talking about the Phillies won their game last night, and the Nationals blew. Who did they blow out last night? Hey, the Nationals blew somebody out last night. So, yeah, you got to – the Washington blew out Colorado last night, 11-1. So, yeah, you got to gain some ground now. You got to – you put yourself, what, five games up against Washington? You got to get that game back. You got to get it back.
And Julio Teheran will take the mound tonight for the Braves. One of the things we're keeping our eye on, of course, is we are just a week away from the deadline, the trade deadline. A lot of chatter again yesterday. As many as 30 players could be traded. As many as 30 players could be traded in the next week. That's a lot of players, and that means we're going to have suddenly breaking news all over the place. We're just waiting for that first chip to fall and where the Braves will be in all of that, because, as I said, the Braves are going to make a move. The only question is how big a move and at what cost, but they're going to have to make a move at this point.
Yeah. I was listening to Bunky Pants yesterday, and he was talking about how he was making a case for them potentially not making a move, and it's one of those things where – that might be the case as well. It's like this, John. If they don't make a move, how mad can you really be at the Atlanta Falcons? I'm up here at training camp and got the Atlanta Falcons over here. How mad can you really be at the Atlanta Braves for not making a move when you talk about your bullpen and the position that they're in has the lowest ERA collectively in the National League, and then you talk about the quality pitching that you're getting in the last couple of days. The unfortunate thing about this trade deadline is that it's coming at a time where it looks like your pitching woes are not as woeful. So that might make people feel like, guys are turning the corner.
And yet the bullpen let the lead up last night against the worst road team in baseball.
Yeah, but with that being said, that's one game. That's one game. And, you're doing the sabermetric thing. You're playing the odds. Mm-hmm. And you know going out there that there's going to be nights, John, where your bullpen is not going to have it. But you're talking about the overall big picture. And the overall big picture is they still had the lowest ERA in the National League. So they might look at it like that. I'm not saying that they're not going to make a move. I'm just preparing myself personally that if they don't, I'm not going to be as upset as most people probably will be if that's the case, because I'm trying to see it from the way that they're looking at it.
Well, I'm going to tell you, as a fan, I'm going to be pretty upset if they don't make a move in their bullpen doesn't hold up through the stretch run and they give this up. That's not going to be a place I want to be in about 8 weeks, Hugh. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, because you're going to have an unhappy camper sitting over next to you.
No, and I hear you, John. And I hear you. And when you look at the National League, everybody has bullpen issues. And I think they're weighing their odds and their chances against all of that. I mean, and really, you're like, no matter what, John, no matter what you do, you're still gambling. Like, you can go out and get a rental player for a year and still not get to the ultimate goal. Or you can stand pat and keep your guys and build for the future. See, that's the unfortunate and tough thing about this situation that the Braves are in, is that you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because it almost feels like people feel – I mean, they have a team that can hit, don't get me wrong. But people feel like if – you go out and get somebody, that's going to automatically, you know, punch your ticket for the World Series. That might not be the case. And then other people are feeling like, well, damn, if you don't do nothing, we'll never know. That's the tough thing that you have to weigh. And then on top of all of that, John, other teams that are in it that are going to be in the same position you're in trying to go get guys.
Yeah, no, so there's no question of that.
So this it's all of that.
Is going to be fast and furious over the next – you know, and here's the thing that's interesting, too. Another part of this is, you know, everybody talked about – remember Madison Bumgarner from the Giants, Will Smith from the Giants.
Not Andy Murr.
Well, suddenly the Giants went like 17-3 in a 20-game stretch and played themselves into it.
And that's the thing. Like, all of the guys that – remember, this was a fluid situation. Oh, we got a chance to get this guy, and yada, yada, yada. Now the teams that we were counting on to be in that sale mode, they might step back and be like, ah, you know what, we got a shot. So that's going to be a problem as well. So it's probably not going to be those big names that we were hearing.
And I wonder if Andy McPhail's having a change of heart. Remember, we talked about it last week. Andy McPhail, team president of the Phillies.
Oh, when he said that, I didn't believe any of that.
He said, I know,
because
out.
They went out like a couple days later when they got some pitches.
Right.
They went out and got some pitching help a couple days later. So, like, smoke and mirrors.
Right.
Bottom line, smoke and mirrors.
We're talking about some of the headlines ahead of Falcons practice today, live from Flowery Branch with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9. Again, I want to do you a bit of a solid, Hugh Douglas. I did a little bit of research here based on somebody talking about what the tickets on Facebook were when they texted into us, and I just brought up one of the ticket retailers. We were talking earlier, Georgia Notre Dame yesterday was set for September 21st, Notre Dame at Georgia, maybe the biggest non-conference game in the history of the Georgia Bulldogs, in the history of the state, with Notre Dame coming in to face Georgia. That game is going to be national TV and prime time, 8 o'clock kickoff. Man, those fans are going to be all worked up, you. 8 o'clock, that's plenty of time to get prepared for the game, if you know what I mean.
Is that another word for drunk?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Going to be worked up.
Yeah, they're going to be all worked up.
Going to be worked up.
Yeah, and I said at the time, especially now, this is going to be the most expensive college football ticket for a regular season game ever paid in the state of Georgia. Just looking at one of the ticket retailers, Hugh Douglas, the cheapest seat now on the secondary market, and I'm just using StubHub. You can use whatever one you want, SeatGeek or Ticketmaster, whatever. I just went to StubHub just because it was there. The cheapest seat on the secondary market for the game right now, upper level end zone, zone 316, section 316, row 20. We're talking upper level end zone, nosebleed view, $525 a ticket.
Hey, how bad do you want to be at the game? I mean, that's what that is. Somebody's going to make a killer. Somebody's going to make a killer.
$525.
I would hate to see what those tickets.
Top of the stadium end zone. I would hate to see what those tickets cost
like right there by the hedges.
Well, let's see. See what we can get down here. We can get down to the section. This is all 300 seats. All right, let's go to best seats here and see what we can get. This is a Georgia Notre Dame again. Prime time. How about that? Best seats available for the Georgia Notre Dame. And again, Sky Club, they want $2,200 for the club.
Yeah, and they're going to get it. They're going to get it.
And a lower level, 131, sideline, 2,000 a ticket, 2,124.
Yeah, they're going to get it.
Well, it's the most anticipated non-conference game ever in Georgia's history.
It's going to be a good time, man. It's going to be a lot of alumni coming back for that one, too. A lot of alumni.
You know, and I know we're a long way away from that game. And Georgia can't get caught looking ahead. You still got to play Vanderbilt on your opening game and whatnot. But it's hard not to start thinking about that game because I think this is a game where I think people will say, you know, this is going to be all the eyeballs in the entire country. When you're on primetime, 8 o'clock going to be on you. And if you go out there and waylay Notre Dame, which, by the way, Hugh, I think Georgia will. I think that'll certainly send a marker to everybody that, okay, maybe this is the year the Georgia Bulldogs get over the hump and finally, after nearly 40 years, win that second national title.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those games where, you know, on that stage and everything that you got riding on it, you got to go out there. You got to have an excellent showing because everybody's going to be looking at that. I think that regardless if it was that night that Georgia still had was going to have a great chance of winning that game. I think that they were going to beat the brakes off of Notre Dame regardless. I think the biggest thing for them is stay focused on the task at hand. And what I mean by that is don't start looking too far ahead. And I know it's probably hard to do. You look at the schedule that you have and even look at the stands and knowing that you're potentially going to be favored in every game that you're in. Don't put yourself in a situation where you fall into one of those trap games for looking ahead at the next game or the next one after
or,
that.
Or even to the SEC championship.
Yeah,
game.
Don't nothing's given. You still got to go out there and earn it.
Right, you got to go to Vanderbilt on opening day against what might be the
Coach
best Mason Vanderbilt.
In that terrible haircut that he has.
Yeah, but Vanderbilt might be a bowl team this year too. Let's keep that in mind. I mean, again, I'm just saying Vanderbilt can make a bowl. You know, they could be a six-win team, and they're not the worst team in the East, in my opinion. So, and you got to go on the road, and it's always tough, and yada, yada, yada. We are live at Falcons camp. In a few minutes, the gates will open, the fans will pour in, and we'll have day three of Falcons training camp. A lot of changes to the Falcons this season, including one big change that could really be interesting to watch. No Matt Bryant. Giorgio DeVecchio is now the full-time kicker for the Atlanta Falcons. What do you have to say about that role? That's next as we continue our coverage of AT&T Falcons training camp from Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 99 The Game after a CBS Sports Minute.
Bosser will hold. Harris will snap 56 yards on the far hash. Snap spot. Try is away, and it is going to be good.
West Durham last year, as Giorgio DeVecchio stepped in for Matt Bryant, went 5-for-5 and perfect on field goals, including that 56-yarder, and now Giorgio gets a chance to be the man. Welcome back to our coverage of the 2019 AT&T Falcons training camp, live from Flowery Branch with John and Hugh, just a few minutes away from the fans entering and about an hour away from the Falcons hitting the field. And Hugh Douglas, the special teams of the Atlanta Falcons are going to be certainly a focus this year of camp and of preseason because of two things. One, special teams in the last few years have been kind of a mixed bag. From a kicking standpoint with Matt Bryant and Matt Bosher, our special teams have been exceptional. From a return and coverage standpoint, they were less than that. They were kind of toward the bottom half of the league.
Yeah, you didn't have anybody that out there that was that dynamic. You know, I don't think you really had a dynamic return, man, since Devin Hester. You just had a bunch of guys back there that are just happy to catch the ball. And when they catch it, they're just happy that they actually caught it. They didn't really do anything with it. It wasn't one of those positive net yard situations that you were in and gave you good field position. Now, granted, over the years, it really hasn't been an issue for the Atlanta Falcons because of that offense. But you want to try to change that. You want to try to upgrade your team in all aspects of the game just to make it better. And that's one of the areas that Coach Quinn really, really focused on in the offseason.
Well, Giorgio DeVecchio gets a chance. Matt Bryant, we are so spoiled around here when it comes to the place kicker position, what with Morton Anderson and then Matt Bryant. You know, you go back to the day of McLuckhurst, and we've had some great, great Hall of Fame caliber kickers with the Atlanta Falcons. And for the first time since Jason Elam left the team back a decade ago, there is no Matt Bryant in Falcons training camp, which is really odd to see. Giorgio DeVecchio, a young kicker who had some good results with the Oakland Raiders and then perfect last year for the Atlanta Falcons, is now the man of the moment doing the duties. And Hugh and I had a chance to catch up with him, talk a little bit about filling the shoes, so to speak, of Matt Bryant, and about what this youngster is a little bit like. And here's that conversation.
Giorgio, I heard you can cook, man. So what's your favorite dish?
That's everyone wants to talk
yeah,
about.
Because I heard you burn in the kitchen.
Yeah, you are.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No. Okay. Burning in the kitchen means that you can really, really cook. So what's your favorite dish?
My favorite thing to make is a chicken cutlet. I tenderize the chicken, make it nice and thin, put a little bit of egg, some breadcrumbs, and then a lightly fry it with a little bit of arugula, olive oil, vinegar, a hint of lemon, and a dash of salt.
You know what's funny about this interview, John Freaky? Like, people can't see this because we're on radio, but I got to describe it to him. When he's talking about making this dish, all the hand gestures of him cutting the meat and everything.
Man, it's making me so hungry. It's lunchtime.
So you cut the meat really, really thin? Yeah. Like you're really a stickler about the way that you cut your chicken cutlets?
Yeah. I ask the butcher who gives me the chicken to cut it as thin as possible, because then it just takes just a second to ch-ch in the pan, and then it cooks all evenly, and then it's very tender when you eat it.
So it's you're kind of kicking chicken, right?
Yeah, don't worry. He does stuff like that. Don't even worry about
it. It's okay.
That,
pun intended, right?
Yeah.
Giorgio DeVecchio, the new full-time kicker of the Atlanta Falcons. How are you adopting that role?
It's been a blessing, really. Since I set foot in this organization, in the building, everyone's been treating me really well. I feel very supported, both from the upstairs, from the support staff, and my teammates. You know, I really have to highlight Josh Harris and Matt Bosher. They've really made me feel like a part of the family right away. I know I'm left-footed, so that can sometimes cause a little
throw
bit of
finish.
Yeah, throw people off a little bit. You know, Bosch has been holding for a right-footed kicker his whole life, so for him to be able to jump in and.
But does he have to like spin the ball the other way? Is that some? I mean, seriously, I mean, to get the laces out?
Yes, he has to use basically different hands to do the opposite thing that you would do for a right-footed kicker, which just takes practice, and he's put in the work, as is Josh, which I know it doesn't seem like it changes much for a snapper, but the whole operation I really feel comfortable with those guys. I really trust them. And, you know, as we've kind of said, as our theme for this camp for this year, together. And with those guys on my side, it's a good feeling.
So you were here a little bit last year. So what was it like being in the locker room with Matt Bryan, knowing what he brought to the table, knowing what kind of guy he was? Mm-hmm. How was it just being in the locker room with him?
It was awesome. I felt like I learned a lot. I can't say enough about him and his career. I mean, it's what every kicker dreams of, being able to be established guy for a long time. And, you know, I consider him to be among the, if not the most clutch kicker in NFL history, just the way he's able just to snap on when he needs to. I mean, the nickname Money Matt. So I try to learn as much from him as possible, just through osmosis and asking him questions. They don't want to bother him too much because he's kind of a quiet guy.
Yeah, he's OG.
Yeah, OG, exactly. Good old Texan, so.
So with that being said, now you are the guy taking over for him. You know what he meant to the city of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Are you feeling any pressure?
Just hope to do my best and to make the city proud. I mean, there's nothing really more I can do. I've given it everything I've got so far, and I continue to plan on doing that because this team deserves it, the city deserves it, and it's fun when I get to see my teammates smiling.
Yeah, and when you're thinking about it, Giorgio Tavecchio, a new place kicker for the Atlanta Falcons, you know, this could be a good team. This could be a good season, and it may come down to your foot on a couple of occasions, maybe in a really critical time.
I would correct you. This is a good team. This is going to be a good season. That's the belief that we've really embraced these first 2 days, but not just in camp, all through the offseason. You know, we got some guys healthy again. There's a great, great feeling, great chemistry, great synergy in the locker room, and we're looking forward to riding that and everyone stepping up when they need to and doing their roles.
You know what? I'm really not a main dish guy. I mean, I do respect the chicken cutlet, but I'm a dessert guy. So what do you have for the dessert to go with the chicken cutlet?
I've made tiramisu before, which is a classic Italian
dessert. Is that tiramisu?
Yeah,
but tiramisu. You say it like with the Italian, with the Italian twang to it a little bit.
Italian twang, tiramisu.
Okay, tiramisu. Okay.
Tiramisu, yeah. It's one of my favorite things. I really don't make it as much as my mother does, but I got the recipe from her. I made it a couple of times, and it's always a crowd pleaser.
Okay, well, I'm cool. I'm gonna try to get some of that tiramisu.
Tiramisu. Maybe you have to have you over to my house. We'll have some chicken cutlet.
Okay,
we'll chit chat a little bit.
I'm with that.
Yeah, kick off the season, so to speak. Yeah.
Another punt.
Yeah, I know.
Boy, I tell you,
thank you, Giorgio.
You'll get used to it. You'll get used to it.
My pleasure, guys.
Giorgio Tavecchio, interesting guy. Born in Milan, Italy. Walked on in college. Became an All Pac-12 kicker at Cal. Got to the NFL, Hugh, in 2012, but didn't kick in an NFL game, in a regular season game, until 2017. He was just on practice squads for 5 seasons. You've got to be some serious committed to something to be on practice squads for 5 seasons before you get an opportunity. Did very well in Oakland and then came here last year and did well enough that the Atlanta Falcons decided that, okay, you're our guy.
Yeah, and take advantage, full advantage of his opportunity, John. And you know, don't really get a chance to talk to too many kickers. He's a guy that I feel like, you know, coming from Matt Bryan and going to them, I feel like they got a pretty good guy. And not only that, you know, when you hear every one of these guys talk about this team, they always talk about it as we. It's never about an I thing. It's always about we. Even to the point where he, you know, corrected you about talking about, you know, potentially being a good team. He felt like this is a good team. I mean, Coach Quinn has beat into these guys' brains the whole concept of being a family and being a team. And I know for a lot of people that's a small thing. That's a real small thing that you kind of tend to overlook when you talk about different nuances of a football team. But that's big, man. You talk about a bunch of guys that not only when you talk to them, they sound like they're unselfish. You see that on the field as well. I think that's very important, especially in this day and age, man. And you know what's funny? Watching a little bit of that Last Chance U last night and seeing how some of those players, even though they play well as a team, some of those guys on there were still kind of individuals. And the way that they talked about themselves as individuals. I know that's different, but when you have a professional team that talks like they're like you would want your college team, your high school team to talk, I think that's a big deal, man. I really do. I think that's where, for me, where football was at its most fun was when you had that family feel about it and that feel that, you know, you would run through the brick wall for your brother. You would do anything for the guy that was playing next to you.
You know, I have been talking to a number of players over my 40 years, Hugh, and you echo a lot of what they say about kickers, stupid kickers. But, you know, when it comes down to you put your – as a defensive lineman, defensive end in your case, you're out there putting your blood, your sweat, your tears, and your physical – body on the line, and it comes down to some guy, you know, trotting on the field to make a kick. And when Cody Parkey of the Bears, you know, double doinks it last year, and everything you work for just goes by the wayside, it's killer to you because, you know, you did everything that you possibly could and you couldn't get it done. And that's what I look at with Giorgio. He's got a live leg. I mean, he may actually take the kickoff duties from Matt Bosher because he can really boom it. But can he make that field goal? I had full confidence that if it came down to the last second of the last game in the Super Bowl, whatever it was, if Matt Bryan had a chance to win that Super Bowl, he would have won it. And I have full confidence. Can Giorgio Tavecchio do that? That's the big question.
I would say this, John, as far as kickers are concerned, and I'd say this about every kicker that I've ever seen and every kicker that's going to come after this. Nobody thinks about a kicker until you need one. That's kind of how it always been. That's how it always is. You never think about it or how important he is until you actually need one. The biggest thing that and what we benefited from by having Matt Bryan here is the fact that, you like you said, you ain't had to worry about that. But at the same time, nobody thinks about it or cares about what he's doing until you actually need one. And if it came down to that Super Bowl moment that you're talking about, then that's when you would actually care about that guy.
We are live at AT&T Falcons training camp. The gates are open. The fans are now coming in for day three of the Atlanta Falcons training camp. And your coverage on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the home of the Falcons. We're also the home of Atlanta United. And United star Julian Gressel, a little Gressel mania for you, going to join us live next, talk about the showdown Friday against the number one team in the regular season in Major League Soccer. That's next as we continue from Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. You know, this could be a good team. This could be a good season. And it may come down to your foot on a couple of occasions, maybe in a really critical time.
I would correct you. This is a good team. This is going to be a good season. That's the belief that we've really embraced these first 2 days, but not just in camp, all through the offseason. You know, we got some guys healthy again. There's a great, great feeling, great chemistry, great synergy in the locker room. And we're looking forward to riding that and everyone stepping up when they need to and doing their roles.
It's time for the Hot Off the Presses Atlanta Soccer Report, brought to you by Georgia Natural Gas.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good. You know, today we played 11-11, and we had, 70%+ possession and created a ton of chances. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, on Wednesday, I think it's something the coaching staff will look at, and we'll have a big matchup on Friday, obviously, coming up.
Julian Gressel after the latest win, the late win over DC United the other night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and welcome back to our coverage of Atlanta Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Atlanta United gets ready for a showdown that, who knows, could be a preview of things to come on Friday night at LAFC against the team that has been the number one team so far in the regular season in Major League Soccer. And we are joined this morning on the Georgia Hot Off the Presses Soccer Report by none other than Mr. Gresselmania, Julian Gressel. Hey, Julian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How you doing this morning, my man?
Good, good. You know, just hanging out here. Just had breakfast at the training ground, getting ready to train, and then head out to L.A.
You know what? I got to point this out. I think John was going to probably say something to the effect, you know, you ain't talked to us in a while. So it's been one of those things where it's been a little bit up and down. With everything that's going on for you guys right now with, you know, some of the stuff that's being said in the media, how important is it for you guys to just stay focused on the task at hand and block everything else out?
Yeah, I mean, it's always important. You know, we obviously know what we have here, and we know that we're still in a decent spot. You know, we were, even before those two wins, we were still in an okay spot, you know, to make the playoffs. But now those two wins definitely help, you know, especially at home. We always said that we have to win the games in order to make the playoffs. And, you know, now you have a matchup to look forward to that for the first time probably this year where we won't be the favorites, you know.
Julian Gressel joining us on the WayForward.com hotline as we broadcast live from Flowery Branch ahead of Falcons practice, talking about LAFC. They've been the number one team. This is a true test here, isn't it, Julian? You're going out to Carlos Vela, the number one scorer in the league, against the number one team in the league, and LAFC is going to be kind of the marker here for the for you in some ways, because, you know, it's a game that you might see somewhere down the road.
Yeah, you know, it might happen, and hopefully it will, you know, and in the ultimate game at the end, all the way at the end of the season. But obviously there's a lot of soccer left to play, and, you know, we head out there. Like you said, you know, they're a very good team. You know, I think there's no doubt about that. I think they're the clear favorites, you know, coming into this game. So maybe for the first time this year, you know, we'll play a bit freer, you know, especially on the road where we haven't been that great, haven't gotten many results. So maybe that will get a little bit something going for us, you know, and we can just go out there, play our game, and then kind of see what happens, you know. And ultimately there's only 3 points up for grabs. So even if we were not to win the game, you know, I still think that we have obviously another home matchup the week after. So, you know, there's still a lot of season left to play, but definitely a good test right now, I think, where we can really get after it and kind of see how far we can push it.
So what are some of the strengths that you've seen from watching film of LAFC?
I mean, they're just a good team all around. You know, I think they're very, very solid in the back. They're very experienced defenders. They have a good midfield that works off each other really, really well. And then obviously they have the difference makers up top, you know, with the one question mark being that number nine position, the center forward. But with Carlos Vela, obviously the best player in the league right now, and Diego Rossi coming at you on the wings, you know, we certainly got to be aware of that. But also, you know, try and play our game, you know, and kind of ask a couple of question marks of their defense and then go at them and don't be afraid, you know, to play forward ourselves.
Julian Gressel joining John and Hugh live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk about you guys. Hugh and I were talking about this, Julian. And, yes, we love having you on because whenever we have you on, you guys do well. I'm not putting any pressure on the interview. I'm just stating a fact. You had the tough start of the season. Then you got hot right before the international break. And then, of course, little sketchy coming out of the international break. Do you get a sense after the last couple of games with the team getting healthier that you're starting to round back into form a little bit?
Yeah, I think I do, you know, where, you know, like you said, we get a couple guys back in training and we have, you know, 20 guys to choose from again. Even before, it was always like, all right, who's going to be able to make the 18-man roster, you know, and then kind of you put your 11 pieces together to start the game. But now, you know, you actually have choices. You actually have guys that push in training, you know, and the schedule is also a little bit lighter, you know, where we have an extra day here, an extra day there. You know, which helps immensely, especially after a tough stretch like we had before. So, yeah, you know, we're looking forward to it. We're excited to get out there and play in a really tough environment, and you know, hopefully do well and really test ourselves. You know, with like you said, everybody almost coming back from injuries and everybody almost being available.
Were you excited personally, Julian, you and the team, to see the way, you know, it could have been a disappointing tie after, you know, the missed penalty kick, and yet to have Pity Martinez come in and sub and do what he did, especially in the final, well, I guess 5 minutes of the game with a goal and the assist, you know, personally happy for Pity that happened?
Of course. Yeah, of course. I mean, personally happy for him. You know, obviously he's been working hard and trying to, you know, to make those kind of impacts. And then, you know, for him not to start, I'm sure he was disappointed and kind of a bit frustrated maybe, but then to come in and really change the game like that for us was obviously huge and probably makes him feel really good, you know, but I think the team success always comes first, and I think the coach knows that, and you know, Pity obviously knows that as well. So, you know, there was a good response from him of coming in and playing the way he did and then ultimately scoring and assisting, you know, on the second one. So it was a good, good game for him and a good, good thing to carry forward.
How loud was it when he scored off that header? How loud was it on the pitch when you heard the fans? What did that feel like in that moment after he did that?
It just feels ecstatic. I mean, it feels great, you know, especially that late in the game. You kind of know that, all right, this is probably going to be it for us. You know, we're going to get the 3 points at home after working hard and playing well and all of that. It feels great. It's really hard to describe because, I don't know. You get goosebumps.
No, I know. That's why I asked, man.
I just screamed at Darlington. I don't know. There's some cool pictures of that as well, but it's a cool feeling.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because when I saw it and knowing what he's been through since he's been here, you know, it's been a little tough, you know, especially when, you know, you're coming in with all those accolades and not getting up to the start that you wanted. To have that moment and have the fans show you love like that, I couldn't describe it. That's why I was asking you, because I wanted to see, you know, that there ain't too many players that get a chance to know what that feels like, and I just wanted to see from your perspective what if you could put it in words.
Yeah, no, it feels ecstatic. It feels amazing, and you know, it feels like that all that hard work that we did, you know, as a team before that has paid off, and you know, you come out of there with a win, and yeah, that's really all that matters.
Well, Jillian, we always have great success when you come on the program. And, of course, you know, they may be the number one team in the regular season so far, but you got to, you know, go out there and show them who's boss. You're the defending champions. Let's really look forward to this. This is a really big match, and we're all getting really excited for Friday night. Good luck out there.
That's right. I appreciate it.
Have a good one, man.
Jillian Gressel joining us live this morning as we get ready for Atlanta United and LAFC on Friday night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Hot Off the Press's Atlanta Soccer Report was brought to you by Georgia Natural Gas. If you're moving this summer, let G&G do the heavy lifting with a fixed rate you can count on for your new home.
Well, before we get to football and Mike Connie and Jason Longshore Friday night, we have football on a Wednesday morning from Flowery Branch as our coverage of AT&T Falcons training camp continues. In just a moment, big announcement that we're going to make on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Big announcement about the broadcast team for the Atlanta Falcons and the radio network. We'll make that announcement live next here from training camp with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, your home of the Atlanta Falcons.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.